please listen to the 3-minute MP3 as an introduction to the Mary Baker Eddy Institute and Christian Science. The topic for this extemporaneous prayer treatment is man, lost and found. If you've had a parting of the ways with anyone that you felt was an important part of your life, and it doesn't matter what the cause is, one typically considers it a loss. And if there's a reuniting, they consider it found, or maybe a replacement appears in your life unexpectedly. If one expects a lasting relationship with anyone or anything, then it is good to think about the 3 introductory quotes to the textbook. 1, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. 2, there is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. 3, oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere. Those are quotes from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the textbook of Christian Science. The first one are the words of Jesus, quoted by John. The second one is a quote from Shakespeare, considered to be one of the greatest thinkers of all time. His words have been considered by intelligent people as being immortal. The third one is a poem from Mary Baker G. Eddy, the author of the textbook, the founder, discoverer, and leader of Christian Science. The first quote reminds us that we always want to be looking for the truth, not emotion, not a personality, but the truth. The truth only has one source. Mary Baker Eddy defines God as incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. She also gives another definition that is as follows. God is the great I am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, and eternal. Principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love. All substance, intelligence. She gives the definition of good as God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, omniaction. The first sentence in the preface of the textbook states, to those leaning on the sustaining infinite, today is big with blessings. She defines omniscience as omni-intelligence, omni-wisdom, and omni-knowing. She defines man as the compound idea of infinite spirit, the spiritual image and likeness of God, the full representation of mind. She defines matter as mythology, mortality, another name for mortal mind. Illusion, intelligence, substance, and life in non-intelligence. And mortality, life resulting in death, and death in life. Sensation in the sensationless, mind originating in matter. The opposite of truth, the opposite of spirit, the opposite of God, that of which immortal mind takes no cognizance, that which mortal mind sees, feels, hears, tastes, and smells only in belief. She defines the five spiritual senses, which is the opposite of what we just read from what matter is all about, as follows. Sight, spiritual discernment. Hearing, spiritual understanding. Feeling, divine consciousness. Smell, intuition of character. Taste, relish of truth. If we think we've lost a friend or a relative or anyone that we have a relationship with, is it possible that our feeling is an emotional feeling instead of divine consciousness that is conveying a message to us? Are we using spiritual sight, which enables us to be aware of the difference between spirit and matter? How about hearing? Are we really listening to the truth? Because hearing is spiritual understanding. How about intuition of character, which is Mary Baker Eddy's definition of smell, and taste, relish of truth? Do we have a bad taste in our mouth because someone thought they were better than we were, or they were wasting their time with us, and so they left, they parted? It doesn't matter what the reason is. It could be a friendship. It could be someone passing on. Doesn't matter what the event is. The reason, real reason, is not tied to an event. It's tied to knowing the truth, which is the facts. How are we assessing the situation? How are we assessing the individual? Dr. Fluno, one of the early lecturers appointed by Mary Baker Eddy back in the late 1800s, probably around 1880 or so, he said that criticism leads to all evil. All evil. If someone parts company with us, are we finding a reason to criticize them? Are we creating an enemy in our own thought? Mary Baker Eddy wrote an article in Unity of Good entitled Love Your Enemies. And she says, who is thy enemy? Except someone that we conceive of as an enemy in our own consciousness. On page 146 of the textbook, Mary Baker Eddy states the following. Divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based, and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. On page 330, she says the following: when the 32 planks of the platform is understood, and the letter and the spirit bear witness, the infallibility of divine metaphysics will be demonstrated. I first read several different definitions. We could consider those the facts about God, man, and then I just read that there is a system that Mary Baker Eddy has provided so that if we use the system, we can demonstrate whatever the problem is. We can heal it. We can heal any problem if we will follow the system. Now she says here, the letter and the spirit, 32 planks of the platform is understood, and the letter and the spirit bear witness. Then the infallibility of divine metaphysics will be demonstrated. Einstein was an avid student once he learned about Christian Science. In fact, he made the statement about Mary Baker Eddy. He said, "Blessed art thou." He even used a capital T. "Blessed art thou, because everything that is in this book," referring to the textbook. He said, imagine a woman discovered this 80 years ago. He said that about 1946, I would estimate, because she discovered it in 1866, which would be 80 years. And when he emphasized the fact that a woman did it, a woman could not vote or hold title to a property. They had very few rights. They were considered a second-class citizen. When Jesus taught on the hillside, they didn't even count women and children. They said 4,000 attended this, and another one 5,000 attended this, plus women and children. So he was teaching to probably five times those 9,000 people. So probably 45,000-50,000, maybe more. Because most families probably would have three or four children and a wife. But they didn't even count the women. And the children were probably the ones that learned the most. Jesus loved children because they were so receptive to the truth. Are we receptive? Or are we going to let personal opinion and self-will control us? Are we going to carry around a grudge? Are we going to create an enemy within our own thought? Mind represents creative ability, capacity, capability, functionality, facility, omni-action. You put those together, you end up with performance. And performance is measured as power. Mary Baker Eddy says, the good that we do and embody gives us the only power obtainable. Are we doing good to ourselves or to the individual that we no longer seem to have a relationship with? If we're going to resent them, condemn them, criticize them? Is that doing a service to humanity? Is that the golden rule? Is that the mind of Christ? The sixth item in a six-part explanation of the tenets of Christian Science says that we will follow the mind of Christ. Have we ever thought about asking ourselves, what would Jesus think? What would Jesus say? What would be his atmosphere of thought? He had a lot of opportunity, because that's what happened to almost every single person that he ever had contact with. John was the only loyal disciple. Mary Magdalene was about the only loyal one that he healed. Even Lazarus and Tabitha that he raised from the belief of death, they weren't at his crucifixion. Everyone hated him. You either hate or you love. If you love, you support. You cherish what they represent. If you hate, it's the other way around. Spirit represents substance. Are we thinking in a spiritual way? Are our thoughts of the substance of spirit? Spirit is defined as flawless, transparent, reflective. If we're thinking in a material way, we don't want to be reflecting it out. In fact, it's really impossible to do that, because reflection means that there has to be a pure thought. It has to be flawless. Otherwise, we absorb it and we suffer. If we reflect out, we have joy and it multiplies. That is really doing good, and we get a lot of power from that. Soul, I mentioned, are the spiritual senses, and I gave you a short verse on each, you know, a couple of words on each one, what those five spiritual senses represent. Principle means balance. No chaos. It means structure and system. Harmony. You can imagine what life is. Life is bringing it alive within our own thought. It's living the qualities of God, living the golden rule. Truth, that's obvious. Are we on the track of God? Are we pursuing the truth about God, about God's existence and his manifestation? We're a part of the manifestation of God. Are we able to reflect God and recognize that God is our source? One of Mary Baker Eddy's students was having a problem healing her vision. And so she sent a letter to Mary Baker Eddy. And in those days, Mary Baker Eddy would try to coach any student that was having difficulty that with any problem they couldn't overcome, whether it was for them or one of their patients, if they were in the practice. And Mary Baker Eddy wrote back and said, "Can you focus no matter what comes your way? Think of that first quote. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Can you focus on the truth? Truth represents consciousness also. Being on the path of truth, being on the path of God, not thinking about error and mistakes. 2 + 3 doesn't equal 7. The golden rule doesn't equal hating someone. It doesn't equal being disappointed. It doesn't equal any emotion whatsoever. Spirit is not emotion. Love is the only kind of thought we should have about anyone. Love nurtures the good. It nurtures the weakness into strength. Think of a mother. A mother goes out of her way to nurture where the need is the greatest. It's like a shepherd going after one of the lost sheep, or a cattle herdsman going after the cattle that are straying away from the herd. That's what a mother is. A mother is nurturing where the need is. Are we nurturing our own thought? Are we trying to make it better? Are we digging deep down into consciousness to do that? The system that Mary Baker Eddy refers to is talking about exactly what we're discussing here. You need to know what the 7 synonymous terms are and what they represent, which I've been explaining here in this extemporaneous prayer treatment. And you have to examine your own thought. Am I using spiritual intelligence? If spirit is the only substance, then our intelligence has to be spiritual. Otherwise, it's not real intelligence. It's the brain trying to work. And that always makes mistakes. But divine intelligence makes no mistakes. So what are we using? Are we using a brain with a set of nerves, with emotions, and all of that kind of thing? We will never have a lasting relationship with anyone if we're thinking about material senses. If we're thinking about spiritual senses, which are the 5 items I recited earlier, and if we're thinking of our relationship with someone being based on those terms and what they represent, then we are looking to God as the source of the qualities, and not a personality. We're talking about spiritual love, not infatuation or lust or anything less than a quality of God. Every time we see a beautiful rose, what should we be thinking about? The beauty is an expression of the perfection of God. The smell, the aroma, the fragrance. Do you think that's man-made? Do you think a baby, a newborn babe, with all of the complex things that are involved internally, Do you think of those as being material? Do you think that a man and a woman having an intimate relationship, planting a seed and it growing and coming forth from a mother's womb, do you really think that that all happens from a material man and a material woman, and they create this complex thing called a body? Not a chance. Frederick L. Rawson is a real genius of a Christian Scientist. He's passed on, but he left a legacy that is unbelievably wonderful and productive and constructive in building our understanding of Christian Science. First of all, he had 15-minute appointments as a practitioner, and at the end of 15 minutes, the individual was healed. He discovered how to heal back in time. If you had an illness 5 years ago, 15, 20 years ago, no time limit, because he overcame the belief of time. He could heal it effective when you first discovered you had a problem. Which means that all the thoughts, all the aggravation, all the pain and suffering that you may have gone through absolutely are wiped out from your consciousness. Zap, they're gone. It's like the genie in the bottle. Performs miracles. Except this was performed as a result of spiritual understanding of the true nature of God and the true nature of man, which I read you a short definition of, compound of infinite mind. That's part of the definition of man that I read to you. The compound idea of infinite mind. He wrote a book, Treatment or Healing by True Prayer, and in it, there's a chapter called Applied Treatments. He lists 1,315 different ailments, problems, whatever you want to call them. And he tells you the medical terms that they name it. Whatever it is. It could be a broken bone, or it could be anything. Anything that the medical industry has come up with, that is the alphabetical name under which it is listed. Everything's in alphabetic order, so it's easy to find if you have a particular problem. We do not recommend reading the book, reading that chapter from beginning to end, because it will implant in your thought all of the various medical problems that have been dreamed up by the medical industry. Only go to the one that affects what you are attempting to heal. That's our high, strong recommendation. So he names and repeats what the medical industry says that problem is, and he makes it very short. A few words, maybe one sentence or two sentences. And then he tells you exactly what the spiritual truth is about the function of whatever the problem is. For example, if you have a broken arm, he says broken arm, because that's what the medical industry calls it. I don't know, maybe they've got a more complex name, a fracture of such and such, whatever. And then he tells you, well, what is the spiritual purpose of the arm? And he gives you the actual words that you should read and study and understand of that spiritual nature of what the arm is. Think about the word broken. Think about the fact that God is the cause and you are the manifestation. Can you separate God from His manifestation? God wouldn't exist if God didn't have a manifestation. He could not exist. There would be no God if there was no manifestation. So the manifestation is directly connected to the source, the cause. In this case, we're talking about God. That arm is a manifestation of God. Not as an arm that can be broken, not as an arm that can be injured, but as what can be reflected by the individual for useful activities. You can take any part of your body, and He gives you what the spiritual nature is, the spiritual purpose of that is. And that's what you want to think about whenever you think about any part of your body. If you do that, you will be able to heal any problem you have. Now remember what this says. You have to understand the 32 planks. Think of it as a platform. They're all covered in 11 pages, pages 330 to 340 of Science and Health. And it says you have to understand the letter and the spirit. Do you want to understand everything in Science and Health? You want to understand everything you need to understand in order to heal any problem you have? Our website gives you the exact formula on how to do it, and I'll say it very briefly right here. You start at the beginning of the textbook, and remember, the textbook is based on the Bible. That was Mary Baker Eddy's only source as any written material. And of course, the inspiration from God. God talked to her. God dictated to her the textbook. She says, I was a scribe under orders. Under orders. She doesn't even take credit for being the author of Science and Health. She says, by Mary Baker Eddy. Like a compiler, like a scribe, like someone listening to someone else talk. She was writing as fast as she could when the divine message would come to her until she finally had the whole book written. And then she made 431 revisions to it because as the people that she was presenting Christian Science to were elevating their thought, then they could take more advanced words and concepts to understand Christian Science. So she kept making revisions 431 times. So what you do is you start at the beginning of the textbook. And this is outlined on our website very clearly, but I'll say it very quickly here. You start at the beginning of the textbook. Well, let me back up. The first thing you've got to realize is that you are not searching for a healing. You are searching for a transformation of yourself, your whole being. Do you spend any time during the day doing anything Of course, everyone does. You have to become very proficient in everything you do. Patients of Bicknell Young used to go to him. He raised himself from drowning. He was declared dead. He raised himself from that. We have it all described on our website. Everything you do takes time. So what should you become proficient in? Time management. Do you want to get any particular thing done today? That's called a goal. You need to be proficient in goal management. G-O-A-L. Are you going to do any reading when you study? Or any listening? You got to do one or the other if you're going to gain new information. Then you need to know and become proficient about reading and listening. The chief editor of Encyclopedia Britannica, Mortimer Adler, wrote the classic book on how to read a book. That's the title of it. In 1940, it is the classic, considered the Bible, of learning how to read and remembering what you read. Now, we have improvements over what he wrote, which have come to us through spiritual enlightenment. But he will tell you the basics. And it includes making sure that you read anything at the beginning of the book that's a preface, an introduction, and any quotes or titles and that kind of thing. And anything that is emphasized in any chapter with an introductory quote or paragraph titles, such as what Mary Baker Eddy has provided us throughout the entire textbook. Every topic, she puts it as a title right there with the text. Every page will have somewhere between one and three or four different topics in it. So you focus on that topic because that tells you what you should be looking for within the text. Because that's the subject of the text. So you should stop at the end of each topic. Like I say, it could be a quarter of the page, because there might be four topics on the page, or there could be only one topic. But wherever the topic ends, you should stop. And look at the words after you read it, and think about it a little, and then record on a media and never throw it away. This is the original text that's going to be recorded in your words. And make sure you record it on a media that you can save onto like a hard drive. Because if you put it on a cell phone and you don't have a way to get it off the cell phone, that is a major fatal mistake. So make sure that if you're going to use a cell phone to record it, or whatever you use, that it can be saved on something independent of the device. You might lose the device, it might be damaged, it might become outdated. So you want to save what you're doing. And then after you record it, take a look at it again, the topic, and think about it in your own words. Just like I'm doing here in this prayer treatment. I'm explaining to you what certain things mean. You need to do the same thing. And you need to record it. Record everything that you can think about that that topic means in your own words and record it. Then you go to the next topic and do the very same thing all the way through the textbook. And when you get done, what do you think you do? You go back to the beginning and do it again. And you keep doing it for the rest of your time on planet Earth. You will never regret it, and you will transform yourself, and you will be such a wonderful influence on everyone around you. Everyone around you will benefit from your being a shining example of the manifestation of the real man, the spiritual man. A little tidbit. I find that the best friends I've ever met are when I'm not looking for a friend, but I'm doing what I enjoy doing. I've been very active from day one. I mean, very active. You know, I flew jet airplanes. I raced cars. I raced motorcycles. I ran in competition in school. Did pole vaulting, high jumping, and 100-yard dash. Everything I've done with a lot of enthusiasm, and I put my entire self into it. The best friends I've ever met were the friends I've met while I was doing the things I enjoyed. I was a tennis player, a snow skier, a water skier. Doing these things, I met other people that had the same interest in those things. They're the best friends I've ever met because we started out having a common interest in something that we both enjoyed. I enjoy great music, so I went to good concerts. I liked seeing car shows, where people would have special cars. Met some good friends there. In fact, I was about 200 miles away from where I was living at the time. And I met someone, and we had cars very similar that we were showing. Different colors. But it was the same thing. It was a very unusual design and so forth. And it was very unique. I met someone, like I mentioned, and where do you think he lived? 1 minute from where I lived. 1 minute. And this was 200 miles away. We were at a car show, each showing the car that we enjoyed. And in that particular case, we both drove our cars to the car show. And then we cleaned them up after we got there with our cleaning equipment and so forth. A lot of people take them on a trailer so they don't have them covered up or whatever so they don't get dirty. But I was a real practical person, and he was too. And we enjoyed driving our cars, so we drove them to the car show. And we went to the car show for fun. It didn't matter whether we got any kind of an award or not. In fact, you know what you should think about if you are in some kind of a competition? There was a gal that was a coach of a girls' running team. And their specialty was the 400-meter run, And the lady that was the coach came to this school, and the school was the last one in the league. They were at the bottom of the performance. They lost every match, every track meet, they lost. And of course, this one, as you can imagine, since I'm telling about it, she had something special to give. And what was it? She said, "You have no competition, and you have no opposition. Who are you competing against? What are you competing against? Forget the people on the track. Forget the one next to you on the right or the left or the one behind you. Only be alert that you don't run over the one in front of you." She taught them to run their own race and don't even think about or look at anybody else other than what I mentioned, the one in front of you, so you don't run into them. She knew that she had a lot of work to do. So she started them at a very slow pace. And she taught them to run the race from beginning to end at the same speed. Don't try to get out of the starting blocks fast. And don't try to come forth with a big surge of energy at the end. You start in the middle, and at the end of the race, you're going the same speed. Period. You know, once you get up to your pace when you come out of the starting blocks. The same speed. So she taught them a slow speed, and then a little bit faster, and then a little bit faster. And if they did not run the speed she told them to run, they had to keep doing it over and over and over and over. It didn't matter whether it was raining, whether it was cold, or whether it was hot. They had to stay until they got the perfect timing that she had assigned to them. And as I said, she kept going up a little at a time. So she wouldn't, you know, be at one speed and then say, "Okay, now run at the old slower speed." It was always at the speed that they were training for. And the parents didn't like her at all, because they weren't winning any meets. She didn't care whether they won or lost. She cared how they played the game or how they raced, whether or not they were sticking to the discipline. What do you think we need to do? Remember what Mary Baker Eddy told her student? Can you focus no matter what comes your way? That's what they had to do. That's what we have to do. That's what the system of divine metaphysics is all about. Are we short on intelligence? Then we better bolster that up. Are we short on patience? Then we better bolster that up. We need to be a mother and a father. We need to give it life, whatever we're doing, and we need to nurture whatever we're doing to bring it up to perfection. And that's what the system of divine metaphysics is all about. Understanding what mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love are. And then you apply those to everything you're doing. If you have a decision to make, say, am I approaching this in an intelligent way? Do I have any experiences in the past that will help me be wise about this decision? Is what I'm doing going to bless everyone concerned? That's love, which is the golden rule. Remember, love includes oil, which is spiritual inspiration. Think of a oil that makes things smooth, a lubricant makes things smooth. We have to make our thinking without friction. We don't want to hurt anyone. We want everything to be in balance. If we are overweight, do we decide, okay, I'm going to do nothing but eat grapefruit? I don't know whether that's good or not, but I don't know whether that's a good idea in terms of losing weight or not, but I know it's not balance. If you're overweight, you're making a god out of something. Maybe it's sweets. Maybe it's bread, you know, sweet rolls, or maybe it's, who knows what it is. You need to have a balance in everything. And no, you don't think about it from the standpoint, if I don't eat so much of green vegetables or so much of meat or fish or whatever, then I'm going to have a problem. No, you think in terms of balance and harmony. You think of it in an intelligent way. Are you intelligent in cultivating a friendship? Or are you looking forward to a lustful relationship? Are you thinking about matter or spirit? I read the definition of matter to you. Doesn't sound very good to me. You have to think about spirit as being the only substance. So no matter what you're doing, you need to think about that. If you're taking tennis lessons, don't try to think about beating an opponent. You think about learning perfection. Learning perfection and sticking to the discipline. It doesn't matter whether you win or lose the tennis match. What matters is, are you practicing the discipline of good tennis? Every part of it. If you're serving, whatever. You need to, if you're going to do anything, you should take lessons continuously. Always trying to improve continuously. Are you a musician? Do you play the piano? Anyone that plays the piano that is really serious about it, if you're not serious about it, you shouldn't do it. You shouldn't do anything unless you're serious about it. Because you can't be God's manifestation if you just don't care. You should strive for perfection in every single thing in your life. Put your whole self into it. Your whole self. I don't mean self-will. I'm talking about the enthusiasm of doing something correctly. If you're going to use self-will, you've got a big problem. Because what we have to do in Christian Science is to get rid of self-will. And we have to yield to the divine will. That's the only real will. On the website, we have hundreds of prayer treatments that teach you the science of what I read to you. When she says she's reduced the system of divine metaphysics to a system, we teach you the system. Einstein said, science without religion is lame. Religion without science is blind. Christian Science gives you the best of both worlds. It's the religion of Christianity, and Jesus was the most scientific and perfect man that ever walked on the globe. Even when he was hanging on the cross, he was loving everyone. He was concerned about his mother being taken care of, who was one of the few that came to the crucifixion. So he asked John to take care of his mother, the only disciple, as I mentioned, that showed up. He was caring about the two people that were hanging next to him. And they were considered criminals. He was always loving impersonally. You don't love the body. You don't love the personality. In fact, what do you think body is? The real definition of body. The real definition of body is everything about you. It's what you're thinking, what you're saying, what you're doing. Your whole atmosphere and attitude is your body. It's not just the thing that is visible that you can touch. It's everything about you. That is your body. So when Mary Baker Eddy says the good we do and embody gives you the only power obtainable, that's very comprehensive. Very comprehensive. That's our body. How often should we be thinking about other people's bodies? Do we even know what their body is? The way people dress these days, you can darn near, you don't even have to guess. They show you so much skin that it's unbelievable. Sometimes I wonder if it's not better to be one of these Muslims who have their women totally covered up, even their face, when they're out in public. It'd probably be a lot easier to keep your thought off of their physicality if you couldn't see anything. We should give our full attention to our body, remembering what our real body is. And remember that if God is the only cause, then our body is a reflection of God. Everything is a reflection of God, a manifestation. And we can reflect the perfection of that if we think along the lines of what is said in this extemporaneous prayer treatment. Edmund Burke gave us these precious words. Evil triumphs when good men do nothing. Are we going to let evil be the victorious one by doing nothing? Most people do nothing. Most people are average and do nothing. They don't even think about becoming proficient in time management or goal management or being proficient in how to read a book or how to learn. You see, the beauty of the method that we've discovered here in the Mary Baker Eddy Institute about reading and learning will make a world of difference to you. Because if you record the original words and then contemplate what it means and then record it in your own words. Oh, I forgot to tell you the most important part. Well, I've told you in various ways in this recording, but you need to live it. Whatever you learn, you need to live it. And of course, obviously, you need to look up every single word that you have any doubt about whatsoever, and keywords such as seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling, you might think you know what they are, but look them up. Rarely does anyone understand that hearing means understanding. Hearing means understanding. Most people don't know that. Most people don't understand that seeing means telling the difference between two different things. And the way you apply it in Christian Science is to tell the difference between good and evil, right and wrong, intelligent and ignorance, a spiritual view or a material view, life or being lazy, you know, bringing life and activity to it or being lazy. The same with all of them, the truth and love, everything. You have to know the difference. Then you can really see. Then you really have sight. Then you can focus no matter what comes your way and have perfect vision. I attended a church service one time, and there was a lady, and she looked like, you know, she'd been around a long time. And one of the few that I've ever seen that wasn't wearing glasses. I mean, very few. I mean, I don't know. I could probably count on one hand the number of people that didn't wear glasses that experienced as much life as she did. And so, and I happened to be sitting, you know, right next to her. And so when the service was over, and this was a church I was visiting, and when the service was over, I said, it's wonderful. And she was singing a hymn, holding the hymn book at the same distance as people that did not wear glasses, like myself. You know, same distance, you know, the normal distance. And so I asked her, I said, you know, it's beautiful that you are able to demonstrate and exercise perfect vision. You know what her reply was? The same thing I told you about if you are in music. You practice the basics. Like in music, it's the Hannon exercises. Hannon is the publisher of this series of exercises in all keys. And if you play the piano, you will find that it's a good idea to practice those exercises every time you play the piano. And that's what she told me. She said, I work at it. Every day. I work at it every day. Richard Strain, who is well known now in Christian Science circles because he's given talks to a lot of churches, but he was working 18 hours a day, and he was at what he considered the end of his rope. He didn't know where to go. It seemed like he was in a rut, just going around in circles, not making any progress. And yet he was working 18 hours a day. 18 hours a day. That leaves 6 hours for transportation to and from the house, from his office, and to eat dinner and breakfast and sleep and prepare for the next day. And he told this to the practitioner. And then he stopped talking. You know what she said? She asked him one question, and then she didn't say any more other than when he left. And that was goodbye. She said, when do you study? Obviously, the answer was he didn't study at all. And she said, if you don't study 5 hours a day, you're not going to go anywhere. And then she never said another word. That was it. Those few words, like Jesus. Jesus says, just say yay, 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 and nay, nay. Don't have any detailed discussions with people. So he sat there mulling it over, trying to figure out how in the world was he going to study even 1 hour, let alone five. And she said every day. She didn't say Monday through Friday. She said every day, 5 hours. Now, he didn't know what else to do. He had not been going to any doctors. He relied on Christian Science. But now he came to a problem he didn't know how to solve. Maybe he didn't have any problems. I have three sisters. And my sisters and myself don't have any brothers, unfortunately. I wish I did. Anyway, my three sisters and I all had perfect attendance in school every year. The school had never had a single student that had perfect attendance for the whole school career of 12 years. And not only one of us, but all four of us had perfect attendance. I mean, the school didn't know what to think about it. And we were exempted from taking any classes about health, because that's one thing that good that the church did. It got us exemptions, so we didn't have to take any of those classes. We didn't learn anything about the body, anything about drugs, anything about whatever they teach. We don't know, because we didn't attend any classes. So maybe he was like us, never had any illness to overcome, because had good health every single day of her life. My dad was in business for over 50 years, never missed a day of work. He had a number of men that worked for him, and they were involved in hazardous work. He started a business from scratch and sold it when he was ready to move to another area of the U.S. and never missed a day. Same with my mother. She had a midwife when she had us four kids. Never a doctor. So are we practicing the hand and exercises of spirit every day? Are we reading those quotes at the beginning of the textbook every time we study? Are we reading or reciting from memory all of these other things that I've mentioned, these definitions of that I recited to you? We should be. That's our foundation. That's our bedrock. That's our cornerstone. Scientific statement of being. There is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. All is infinite mind, and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. I know someone that substituted the word matter with the word of a problem they had. They had a growth above their right eye. They didn't pay any attention. They were a Christian Scientist. They didn't pay any attention to it at the beginning. And it started growing. It was a man, and he only noticed it when he shaved, looked in the mirror. Otherwise, he really never looked in the mirror except, I don't know, probably to comb his hair or something. So after about a week, and this thing was growing rapidly, he realized he better do something about it. And he said, I'm going to think about the scientific statement of being, what I just read, what I just recited to you. I'm going to think about that and apply it to this problem. He told me after it was all over, then it was shared with close friends. So he said, when he would go into the bathroom, because he had a very busy schedule, so only when he went into the bathroom, the restroom, to do whatever he was going to do in there, or take a shower, or shave, or whatever. Only when he went in there, he would say something like this. There is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in the belief of a growth above the right eye. All is infinite mind, and its infinite manifestation. For God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. A belief of a growth above the right eye is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. The belief of a growth above the right eye is unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man does not, could not ever have anything abnormal called a growth above the right eye. Therefore, man does not have a growth above the right eye, for he is spiritual. And I am a reflection of man. I'm an individual reflection of man. The man which is the manifestation of God. Everything about me is perfect. And that's the only way I'm going to see myself or anyone else. Because that is the only thing that God could manifest. Amen. So he would say that kind of thing. I mean, I don't know the exact words that he said, but I would have added that thing at the end, those words at the end. But basically, that's what he did. In a few days, instead of getting larger every day, every time he looked in the mirror to shave or whatever, it started going down. And in a very short time, he said it totally disappeared, and there was no evidence that it had ever been there. No scar, no little bump, or no blemish of any kind. Now, he was studying his regular studies. And they weren't just words. He was reminding himself of what Mary Baker Eddy tells us man is. The definition that I read to you is man is a compound idea. Compound idea of God, of all good. The manifestation of mind, That's with a capital M, which means God. If you're shopping and you're at the checkout counter, you're probably spending a little time waiting before you get up to where the clerk is. You can use that time to think about God or to look around and see if there's anyone that needs help. Do you see someone that's struggling? In fact, on the way to the checkout counter, do you see someone struggling? Maybe they went in the store like I have from time to time. Not often, but once in a while. And I think I'm just going to pick up something real fast because I was shopping next door. And so I don't need a grocery cart. And as you're walking briskly through the store, you see two or three, four other things that, yes, I could use this, this, and this. And pretty soon you've got your arms full of things. Do you see anyone like that? Have you offered to help them carry it or to get a basket for them? Do you see anyone staring at the shelves trying to figure out what to do, what to buy, and see if you can help them or get someone at the store that would come over and help them? We have an abundant opportunity all the time. Abundance is overflowing with opportunities to be kind to other people, to recognize their good qualities, and to be grateful that it's being expressed. Do you always smile when you're out in public? You'd be surprised if you haven't done it and notice others. How many people will smile back and turn a frown into a smile by seeing your smile? We need to be expressing an example that is worthy to be an example. Some of these clerks work very hard and long hours. Any kindness you can show to them and any appreciation you show to them, I've never seen one yet that didn't appreciate it. Not a single one. When you're driving your car, if somebody cuts in front of you, what do you think about it? We have an opportunity every moment to decide what we're going to do with that moment. Is it going to be a moment of disappointment and disgust, or one of gratitude? When we get up in the morning, are we grateful that we woke up and we're getting up and we have an opportunity to express another day of being an image and likeness of God? Everything about us reflects our attitude about every moment. Mary Baker Eddy said, how we use our moments is often the difference between success or failure. A moment is determined as the smallest measurement of time. It's not measured by numbers. You can't divide it. However, you can multiply it. We have a four-part series. Each part is 40 minutes. One of them, I think the last one, is 41 minutes for a total of 161 minutes of recordings, which is an introduction to Christian Science and the Mary Baker Eddy Institute. And that will give you a lot more background than what I have in this prayer treatment, because its purpose is to orient you to exactly what the title says. Whereas the purpose of this treatment is to focus on just the one topic and not to really give you a thorough background on, you know, the whole way of life. I do want to add one thing that I haven't mentioned, and that is mathematics, as you know, has 10 digits, 0 through 9, and four operators, add, subtract, multiply, and divide. Music also has the elements, you know, the seven notes, A through G, and the black keys, which are the sharps and flats. Those are the basic elements. It also has operators and levels. Math has levels. The system of divine metaphysics has all three. The elements, which are the seven synonymous terms, four operators, and four levels. The four levels are described on page 115 and 116 of Science and Health. And the four operators, I will just give it to you quickly right here. They are the Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science. The Word means all the facts about God. The Christ means translating whatever you are faced with and seeing the spiritual reality instead of focusing on what appears to be matter, something you can touch, and so forth. And it's very important because Jesus is known for the Christ because he was such a wonderful example of translating whatever he saw and converting it to the spiritual view. Therefore, when he saw Lazarus and Tabitha, he didn't see dead people. He saw them as sleeping. He didn't see a blind man. He saw a man that had perfect vision. And his conviction of what he saw to be the reality and what the appearance was to be the unreality, that he brought forth the healing. But he also often asked the individual, do you have faith that you can be healed? Galilee didn't have people that had much faith in Jesus. He grew up there as a boy, and he was a carpenter. So they thought of him as either a boy or a carpenter, not as a messenger that was fulfilling a very important mission on behalf of God. Now, I mentioned just briefly about we need to be a giver, a life of giving, life of gratitude. We need to live a life of gratitude. Think about everything in the world that you have that you can give to someone else that could use it. Everything. Money, assets, food, shelter, clothing, ideas, teaching them, things that you know that you have a special talent for, everything. And if you really think about it, you can give a lot. And you don't have to be limited to tithing 10%, like it says in the Bible. That's for an average student. Do you want to be average? You want to be a B or an A student? Or you want to be striving to be perfect? Then you're going to give much more than 10%. Maybe 20, maybe 30% or more. Some people give everything they don't need. The Israelites were taught not to store up their food in warehouses. And again, we must apply intelligence to everything we're doing. I'm so grateful for everyone I've learned anything from, and even though I've done a lot of studying over my lifetime, I feel I'm just scratching the surface. It is so vast, infinity, and what there is to learn, we never get there. Mary Baker Eddy says, infinite progression is concrete being. So we have to be making continuous progress all the time. No backsliding. Make sure you practice your exercises. That will help you immensely to stick to the truth and to make sure you follow Shakespeare His words of wisdom, nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Make sure our thinking is focusing on the truth, which is the first quote at the beginning. And that we're living our prayer, which is the third quote. Thou hast heard my prayer. That's because Mary Baker Eddy was living her prayer. She was living her desires of being spiritual and benefiting all mankind. That's why she did so much good. One woman started with nothing in resources, didn't even have a place to live. She was put out in the street many times when they discovered what she was working on. It was so bananas to everybody, they thought she was crazy. Her sister and her husband were in a good business, and they did everything possible to get her to give up the whole idea of publishing a book. They're the losers. She ended up having an organization that had churches in nearly every country, and big cities had 40 or 50 churches. Millions and millions and millions of people were healed through Christian Science. We want to be an example of following what Jesus did, his way of life, and Mary Baker Eddy. They were way showers. She named Jesus as a way shower, but she was a way shower also. I will read to you a short prayer that is called the Diapason of Heaven, and she did one of these for each of the seven synonymous terms. And then I will say amen, which will be the end of this recording. And except I will add the date and time to the end of it after the amen, so there will be a record in case you want to refer to it. Okay, here is the prayer, Diapason of Heaven. The focus for this Diapason of Heaven will be on principle, because we've talked about the importance of principle in this prayer treatment, whereby we have to stick to a standard, knowing that we have to focus on the right thing. We must hallow the word principle as a name for God. Declare often, there is only one principle, and this is my infinite, all-present, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-acting, all-loving principle. Principle is my God, and my God is divine principle. Good is my principle, and my principle is good. Divine principle is enthroned in my consciousness as my God. Persons and personal sense are not enthroned. This is the word of God. Declare all the truths you know about principle. Principle as God must be subjective in your consciousness. Claim this revealed principle as yours and as your subjective thought. This ever-operative, unvarying, enduring, governing, exhaustless, sustaining principle is enthroned. So-called mortal laws are inoperative and unreal. Amen. It is 25:05:06 at 17:02. The end.